Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories, oh what joy, they bring to me,
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this evening, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to bring to us knowledge and wisdom. The knowledge of this word, Father, and the wisdom to use it so that we can be used to help others to come from darkness to light. And that light being the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they too, Father, can start on their journey of making heaven their home. Now be with us throughout this study tonight. And we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to be starting out here with chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. But more likely we're going to be getting into 10 also. The 9 is not really all that long, 27 verses. But we'll see, because we don't know what God really has for us and for each one of us in this study. You notice how I am calling it study and not service. Because really, that's what we all need to be doing, is studying the Word of God and listening to these men of God as they preach what the Holy Spirit gives them to preach and to record, letting us know how to walk in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, you know, we are to walk in Jesus and Him and us. We are to walk in the Spirit and the Spirit in us, because it is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, which is our comforter today. He's our guide. He's the one that gives us knowledge of this Word of Almighty God and shows us the depth and the truth of it. All right. Here in chapter 9, beginning with verse 1, Paul says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? You know, that one verse right there says a whole lot. Because all of us that know anything about Paul and his life, we know that in the earlier days of his life, he was against the Lord Jesus and against anyone that would follow him, going out, bringing them back to be jailed, and even put to death. And we know he was on his way to Damascus to do this very same thing when he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road. That meeting changed his life. And if you have truly, in sincerity and honesty, met the Lord Jesus Christ, your life has changed. You see, when we meet him, nothing will ever be the same again. And this is what Paul is letting them know. He is an apostle because Jesus made him one. And he is free now. Because you see, the gift of God and the grace of God that sets us free frees us from that old man sin. And then we are really free. But as long as that old man sin is part of us, then we're slaves to it. We're not free. It takes that repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ and his forgiveness of our sins, because he is the one that became our sacrifice, that paid the price he paid on the cross for you and for I. Now, here in verse 2, it says, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are in the Lord. You see, they was also those that followed Paul from place to place. Other Jewish group that would follow him and telling people they could listen to part of what he was saying, but they had to be circumcised. They was trying to tie them right back into the law. And they didn't like Paul any better than they did the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul's letting them know there. He says, even though I'm not an apostle to them, I am to you. Because he was the one that was the founder of this church at Corinth. It was him that they had become a child of God through. Now, 3. My answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? He's letting them know that they have the power to do what they're doing. That they don't have to be what they're proclaiming they have to be. He goes on here in 5 and he says, have we not power to lead about a sister and a wife, a 12th, as other apostles, and as the brother of the Lord and Cephas, letting them know to lead about a sister or a wife. You know, that kind of shows the fallacy of all of those who, and even today, who promote that the ministers of God should not be married, they should be celibate. And not have that life to be with them. And that's not true. Because in the very beginning, the Lord God, when he created man, back in Genesis, he said it was not good for man to be alone. And that's why he created the woman, was to be a helpmate him. But we need to take all of these decisions and things before God and let him give us the wife he wants us to have, because he knows who will be a helpmate for us and who would be a hindrance. He knows a lot more than we do, you see. Now, verse 6. He says, are I only and Barabbas? Have not we power to forbear working? 7. Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Now here he's getting ready to let them know that really they should be taking care of those that are the leaders that God will send to them, that they should be taking care of them. Now, Paul himself was one that really worked with his own hands and mainly took care of himself and those that were with him. He didn't depend on them. There was a few times in the New Testament, and as we go through, we'll be seeing those times where, yes, he would be staying at someone's house that God would send him to, and he'd be partakers with them at their tables and things. But as a whole, he took care of himself through God. You see, we all that do take care of ourselves, we do it through God, because it takes his power and his knowledge in leading us for us to be able to do that. And you see, I am one that I can tell you that because I have also lived that way. Give up for dead 3 times by math. And the last time God brought me off my deathbed, put me into a well body, called me into the ministry, my schooling, my teaching has come from the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And my power to make a living for myself and for my family all came from him through the years. And through my years of ministry, I have never taken a paycheck from the church. You see, God will take care of you when you will walk with him and you depend on him. Now, he goes on here more or less with the same situation here in 9. He says, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Does God take care of oxen? Yes, he does. And that was a law back then for them, that they used oxen in plowing their fields and things. And they were not allowed to muzzle their oxen. Now, or saith he, it altogether for our sakes, for our sake, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope. You see, he's also letting them know that if they are those there in the church that are busy in God's work and don't have the time or whatever to work, they should take care of them. He's doing it by kind of speaking this proverb to them. And that he that thrasheth in hope should be partakers of his hope. In other words, he is sharing the gospel with you, the things of the Spirit, so you should help him, as they call it, the carnal things, which is the things of this life that is needed, such as food and clothing, things that way. Pick that up here, right here in the next verse. 11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? No, see, it isn't. It's only right. If others be partakers of this power over you, or not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Paul says we haven't done this because in doing so, we could hinder the gospel of Christ. So he wasn't doing it. Now, 13. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? 14. Even so has the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. See, there's nothing wrong with it, with them living from the gospel. No. And the church should be taking care of them. 15. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glory void. In other words, Paul said it'd be better for him to die than for somebody to be able to make his glory for the Lord void and tear down his work. Can it be so? 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. You see, when God calls us for a work, that is what we are to do. And if we don't, there's a price that will be paid. We don't want that. Now, 17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. 18. What is my reward then? You see, you think they know. If he don't do what he's supposed to do, there's no reward. Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I've used not my power in the gospel. I'm not going out here and depend on a church keeping me and paying my wages, is what he's telling them. And end up with his gospel and that power being abused. And he's letting them know. You see, I have not done that. So now, I have not abused that power of the gospel. 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. You see, we are to be always ready to help anyone that is in need all that we can. That's also part of the gospel of Almighty God. And that's not only just for preachers. That's for every child of God. I'm talking about you that calls yourself a Christian, a child of God. Is that the kind of life you're living? If it ain't, you better get things straight and get right before it becomes too late. Illinois becomes servant all. He says, that I might gain the more. But where's his gain coming from? He's not saying it's coming from you. His gain's going to come from the Lord Jesus Christ because he's working and doing the work that God called him to do. 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. 20. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. In other words, he's letting them know that he is making himself a part of what they are in order to gain them to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ by getting the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. Now, 21. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. Preaching to the Jews and also to the Gentiles. That's what he's letting us know there. And he's preaching to those that are under the law, and those that have come out from the law and moved under grace. In other words, under the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. We are to be examples unto those that are the children of God. We need to be examples to them so they can follow our lead. And the teaching that we do, and also to those that are walking in darkness in order to be able to help bring them out of darkness and unto the light, and that light being Jesus. Now, 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. He's letting them know why he does these things. And that's so that he can become a partaker thereof with you. 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. In other words, you run your race right, and you run to win. When you get into God's Word, go into it with prayer and let God know, Lord, I'm in your Word because I want the truth and the power of it in my life so that I can be what you want me to be in reaching out and helping others to gain the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives and be able to enter into your kingdom and walk as your child. 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. You see, he lets us know all these things. He doesn't hide anything from you and I. 26. He says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. In other words, he's running and not gaining anything. 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's why Paul is letting you and I know that just because we are ministers, that we don't have to live what we teach. Because we do. Or we could be a castaway. Your life is an example. When you are a born-again child of God, your life is an example to others. When they see you and see your life and see what's going on with you and how you live, they see the Lord Jesus Christ. When they get to know you, they should be getting to know Jesus, because most of your words that pass between you and them should be words of the gospel. Now, Ken here, I don't think we're going to get into that tonight. It's 33 verses, and there is a whole lot in it. Well, I don't know. We'll probably not get through all of it, but the Spirit's kind of leading to go on and get started in it. We'll see. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. and did all eat the same spiritual meat. Now you see, he's talking here about those that were under the journey being brought out of Egypt. And how they were all baptized together. But you see, that changed for you and I. Because we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ by putting on his death and his resurrection, by being buried with him and raised with him by baptism. We're not baptized for repentance anymore. That one, that stopped when the church age started on the day of Pentecost. Things changed. Now, second, well, I've done the second and the third. Let's go to four. And then all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock full of them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Well, as we've been going through the Old Testament, also on Monday and Tuesday, we went through the book of Exodus. We studied their journey, didn't we? And we know that even though God was leading them out and protecting them and giving them the things they needed, they still murmured and complained, and even complained about Moses, the one God sent to lead them. They accused him of bringing them out in the wilderness to die, and they wanted to turn around and go back into bondage and slavery under the Egyptians even. Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, in which they did. They even had Aaron make them a golden calf to be their God. And then throwed a big party over it while Moses was on the mountain with God and getting the Ten Commandments. Neither be ye idlers, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. We know that's what happened when Moses came down from the mountain and seen what was going on. And he took those commandments, threw them down and broke them. He wound up grinding them into powder and putting them into water for them to drink even. But the Lord opened up the ground with an earthquake. And that's when he took 23,000 of them. When we walk against God, there is a price. Now that price may not be death of this physical body at the time, and yet it might be. But there'll be a price to be paid. Because when we go against the things of God, Satan is always right there. Because those that call themselves Christian are the ones he's after. And you give him just a crack, and he's going to step through it. 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. We know about that also. Because we've read that, we're reading that as we come through the Old Testament. How serpents got in among them. They were poisonous serpents, all of them. And when they were bit, they died. And God had Moses to make a brass serpent and raise it up on a pole. And when they were bitten, if they would look up on that serpent, they would be healed. You see, that was a form of Christ. Kind of a pre-runner, so to speak. Because just as our sins, Christ was put upon that cross and became our sacrifice. And when we go and we look upon him and we put our faith and trust in him and our repentance to him, our salvation comes through him. And our life changes. Now, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. You see, a lot of these things they did on that journey. A lot of them left life because of it. Those that went into the promised land were of a new generation. The old generation that actually started out on that journey of leaving Egypt were all gone. There was only one left to go into the new land. And that's the one that led them. Because, see, Joshua led them because Moses was not allowed to go in. Now, because he had displeased God. Now, Moses made heaven, but he wasn't allowed to see the new land, the land God gave to Israel. Now, 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. And they were written for our admonishment, upon whom the ends of the world are come. In other words, it was written and recorded for you and I. Because you see, we are living in the last of days. We don't know when. So if somebody comes and says, now, this is going to end next year or 2 years from now, don't listen to that, because no man knows. Not even the angels in heaven know. There ain't but one that knows, and that's the Father. Now, we do know some things that's going to happen before that. And we're seeing some of that right now. And we'll be getting into a lot of those things a little later. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. 13. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You see, you can't say that you're tempted by God. God don't tempt man. Satan does, God don't. But God will bring you through it all. Now, God may test you, yes. He may give you some tests. But he's not going to tempt you with evil. 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Don't mess with these false idols. 15. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. You see, we don't need all of these different walls that have been built among mankind and all these different denominations, because that's exactly what they did. They built walls to divide themselves from others instead of coming together in the one church, his church, his church. And if we're going to make heaven, that's the church we have to belong to. His church. All of these that's out here and got these walls built where they can't have nothing to do with others and others can't have nothing to do with them. They need to tear them down, all come together as one in his church. We're told that in the word of Almighty God. But man does not want to listen. But one day he's going to stand before the Lord God Almighty, and he's going to find out how wrong he was, but then it'll be too late. And he'll wind up in hell and a lake of fire for eternity. Now, 18, behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices, partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And you see, that's what they were doing when they had these idols and were calling them gods. And they were sacrificed to them, and they were sacrificed unto the devils. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Paul said, don't have fellowship with devils. Leave them alone. Stay away from them. 21. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? No, we're not. And God will do exactly what he said he'd do. We don't need to be playing around. These that have built walls. get right with God and His church. 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's will. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat. Ask no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for the conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thy own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? But a lot of it is. 30. For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of? For that which, for which I give thanks. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That one sentence right there has so much to tell you and I about the way we live through each day. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Most people, you'll see them, they'll leave church, they go to a restaurant for a meal, they get their meal, but you'll never see them sit there and say grace because they're ashamed to in public. And God tells us, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. All right, now, 32, 33, we'll be closing. Give none offense, neither to the Jew, nor to the Gentile, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. You see, that's what we are all supposed to be about, that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be there to help others find the Lord Jesus Christ for their life. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we close your word here, Father, and we thank you for this word, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for the times that we can come together to share this word with each other and with you, Father. And we thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit gives us the knowledge that he gives to us and the guidance that he gives us to help us through each day as your child and to walk as an example, Father, to others as we go our way to do and to walk according to your will and your way. Now, Father, keep us all through this evening and through the night. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. Watching over us, Father. And Father, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem. Your word tells us to do so. And Father, we do. They are your chosen family, Father. You've not turned against them. They, Father, rejected the Lord themselves. You still love them. And one day, they will return. Your word tells us that, Father. But Father, they're having such little peace. We are praying for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we're praying for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, this land of ours has turned their back and walked so far away from your church and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray, Father, that we can all find a way to come together in one mind and one accord to bring this land to repentance so it can be healed and our government put back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being back upon your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for all of us in this ministry, we all have family members that are lost, and ask the Holy Spirit to work among our families, speaking to them, speaking to their conscience, their heart, that one day we can all work together and to see them turn, knowing they need something more than themselves, and that they'll turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of their sins so that they too can make heaven their home. Now, Father, be with us. Keep us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, all. Have a great day. And a good night. Walk with God, He'll walk with you. Good night, all.